hey, it's our final Marriage Monday with Bill and Joyce Harley because I'm leaving the country in 33 days. And so I won't be here to produce and host this show anymore. And we'll see where it goes from there. But in the meantime, we've had a great 4.5 year run. And so we'll see if we can keep our eyes dry today here on WWIB and WIB.com. 4.5 years. All you guys did initially was say yes to a November interview to promote your marriage devotion. And look what it got you into.
Right.
It's been wonderful, and time flies when you're having a good time, Mark. I know, keep my eyes dry. Yes, give us a moment at some point to do an official farewell to you, okay?
The final 2 minutes. The final
okay,
2 minutes
will
do that. All right, in the meantime, I want to talk about, is, you know, there's a comment that's been made, gets you to react to this, about marriage. I said this in my men's group on Saturday, which meets at the lower level of WIB here, Saturday mornings at 6:30, and that is, you know, it's been said that marriage can be the closest thing to heaven or hell you experience on earth, and so that's an attraction in terms of who wouldn't want to be a part of something that could be the closest thing you experience on heaven, on earth. On the other hand, there's a risk there because it could be really bad, right?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, what happens in most marriages is that it gets really bad. That's a sad commentary, but 40-some percent of marriages end in divorce. That obviously, they got bad. Another 20% end in permanent separation. They're certainly bad. And among the 40% left, many of those marriages, I estimate half, are not anything close to what they had originally hoped they would be. Most professionals estimate lifelong happy marriages at about 20%.
And you can see why it can be the worst thing that could happen to you, because this is the person who you vowed to share your life with and you're intimate with, and who can hurt you the most but those who are the closest to you. And it grieves our heart to see this happen, because the marriages can be turned around, Mark, but it takes effort. It takes understanding how they got there in the first place, and then what they could be doing in place of it. But that's what we recommend. It's worth it. It's worth the effort, then, to have the rest of your life together where it is heaven rather than hell.
And I've talked openly on the air about it before, and I think it's probably helpful to say part of my gratefulness to you guys, and Bill, I can go back in the records and find, I think even maybe, you know, in the mid-90s, I've had you on the show a time or two, but it's just been over the past 4.5 years where with Joyce, your better half, we've had you on here monthly, and so that's been great. Been able to promote MarriageBuilders.com. And one last time here with this hour, I hope people will avail themselves of the great and helpful information there. But well into our marriage, as a Christian, working in Christian broadcasting with 4 kids, but some of the increasing challenges. And one of those love busters you write about in your book, you had it on there. Angry Outbursts is one of the love busters, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And that was corrosive in my marriage, I would say, and I needed some help for that. I got that, and part of the from that book, Love Busters, was a very huge and helpful book, and us kind of rallying around, oh, the love bank, deposits, withdrawals, and that whole deal. So,
yeah, basically, if you have an anger problem, I would say that if either spouse has an anger problem, you're not going to resolve your conflicts, because you're always at risk of either losing your temper yourself or the other guy losing your temper. And then the discussion degenerates into name-calling and all kinds of unpleasant
and
things.
It's not a safe environment.
No.
And so how do you even begin to think about negotiating?
So you can't resolve your conflicts, right, if either person has an anger problem. So once you eliminate anger as an issue in your marriage, you're really opening the door wide open to conflict resolution done the right way.
But let me ask you, Mark, mm-hmm, how did you resolve your anger issue?
Well, I mean, I eventually was part of a group. I mean, for various things in my life as an adult child of alcoholic or impurity issues, I mean, I'd found counseling or group help. And this was something, again, where I'm like, I need to go someplace, a safe place where I can be real. And I buy into the idea that where you're pretending, there's no spiritual growth, and I got to get to the bottom of it. And there's an area counselor, author, Ron Potter Efron. He had an anger group, and I paid to be a part of it. And it was well worth it. So
good.
Yeah, I've run anger management groups throughout my career, and most of the people that I've experienced in these groups are from jails and prisons.
Sure, I experienced that too. To be honest with you, yeah, there was. I would think the standard, if I can just say, the standard of the guy in there. Mine was a verbal anger. Okay, so just to clarify, but I mean, Not that that's better or worse, it just was. But I'd say a lot of guys in the group probably were there for having tried to choke their girlfriends. Okay,
yes,
so that was probably
yes.
pretty standard.
And so usually a person that goes to an anger management group, they feel like they're sort of out of place there, you know, mm-hmm. because most of the people there have been assigned there by court order.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
so when you
got it,
you
got it.
Voluntarily, there's an argument that can be made that you should be in a different group, you know. There's just, and yet the message is the same. I've always argued this point, and that is that I have an easier time working with somebody who has just come out of a year in jail because of a domestic violence than I have with somebody who has been picked up and the wife ends up trying to defend him to keep him out of jail. Sometimes being in jail is a wonderful motivator to get rid of this horrible problem once and for all.
And the basic principle, Bill, is that no one else is responsible for your anger. You are the one responsible, right?
You start there. You start there that nobody makes you lose your temper. And if a person sees that as a true point, then they're ready to then say, okay, then what do I have to do to overcome this demon that's within me? And most anger management groups have a tried and proven plan where you, as soon as you accept responsibility for every angry outburst you have, now you can get to work on learning how to control the emotional reactions that you have.
And we congratulate you, Mark, for your
yep.
victory in this.
Right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, just a lot of getting it out in the open, right? And then taking responsibility. I mean, think of different books, Henry Cloud and John Townsend, Boundaries, right? I mean, you're mm-hmm. responsible for your own stuff. But even your book was helpful, as we had some friends, you know, kind of meeting with friends, short of just a group activity like that, friends who point you toward it. And this same friend I've come across, he's a doctor friend, and I've told you before, he's like every time they go to a wedding, they're giving out, you know, Love Buster books or His Needs, Her Needs books, and just find it's a great gift for people in that regard. So, but I wanted to talk about, I guess, just as we head off to Liberia for 9 months with our kids and ministry marriage, I was kind of struck by the compare and contrast of this, and that is that you and Bill, Joyce, you've been married for 53 years. Congratulations. That's awesome. And I look at you guys in terms of, you know, having a ministry marriage that you love God, you love each other, and you love being able to do the ministry and much of it together. You do a new show on the internet and on radio. People can access it at your website, marriagebuilders.com. But then also, like, Stuart and Jill Briscoe, and they're some of my spiritual heroes. Love and appreciate them and have been helped so much by them. And they just celebrated 58 years. And for many years now, Stuart had been the pastor at Elmbrook Church, largest church in Wisconsin for many years in southeastern Wisconsin. But they've been ministers at large, ministering all over the world. And they were just doing family conferences at multiple places in Wisconsin the last couple of weeks. I think they were at Camp Forest Springs in our listening area. But I was struck that both of you I look at and say, boy, I want our marriage to continue in that regard, that even as we get... continue on chronologically, that just I think that's as good as it gets, right? A happy ministry marriage where you're loving God, you're loving each other, and you're co-laboring with the Lord in the work. On the other hand, I look at far too many Christian couples and they crash and burn, and I don't get it. It seemed like there was no way that was going to happen, and yet a lot of times it seems like it's the man or the woman, more often in the ones I'm thinking of, it's the guy who ends up having an affair. Again, marriagebuilders.com, the number one infidelity support site on the internet, marriagebuilders.com. But I'm just like, what's with that? I mean, what is it what's the difference between the Harleys and the Briscoes and the keeping it together, keeping the ball in the fairway, if you will, as opposed to the ones who seemed like they were on course, they seemed like they were mature and godly Christians. What happens there in terms of how does the rug all of a sudden come out from under? Because it didn't seem like it was at all trending that way.
Well, the simple answer to that question is to what the nomenclature I use is to protect your love bank from outside threats. And you have to understand basically that anyone that you come into contact with can make love bank deposits and love bank withdrawals from their account in your love bank. And the idea is that if you get into a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex where they're able to make large love bank deposits because they're meeting some of your basic emotional needs, say for admiration, say for for recreational companionship.
For conversation.
Conversation, whatever your emotional needs are. If you allow that person to make these massive love bank deposits, then it breaches the love bank threshold, and you end up being in love with that person, in spite of the fact that you might be in love with your spouse at the same time. And it gives you all these mixed signals. You don't know what to do about it. The solution to the problem is basically you close your love bank to someone of the opposite sex that that could have an opportunity to make those deposits. So I recommend no close friendships of the opposite sex. Now that makes everybody think I'm a dope because what are you telling me? I can't have a friendship with somebody just because they happen to be of the opposite sex? What are you, some kind of a Neanderthal? But I'm so aware of what you've been talking about these Christians that are in ministry, that where in ministry they end up falling in love with somebody outside of marriage, and it destroys not only their marriage but their ministry.
Yeah, right. I happened to watch a movie last night. It was called Fall in Love. And Robert De Niro and Meryl Streep were in it, two actors that I really admire. And they allowed themselves to fall. They opened their love bank to someone other than their spouse. And it happened innocently. It was a fascinating study, actually, on how infidelity begins. They never had a physical affair. It was all emotional. But it ended their marriages. And sadly to say, it was a Hollywood movie, so it ended with them rediscovering each other after they were divorced and they embraced, and you knew they were going to, in quotes, live happily ever after, which isn't the case, because often what we call affairages, marriages that result from infidelity, have a very low percentage of success. But nevertheless, it really, Mark, showed how they allowed these people, this other person, to come into and make a deposit to the love bank. And it was really conversation. Conversation was what did it. They talked on the train, and that's how it began. And they allowed themselves to see each other yet one more time. And I kept yelling, don't do it, don't do it. Sit someplace else, sit mm-hmm. someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't do that, and they had an affair.
Yeah.
Also, I might add, regarding keeping a ministry marriage together, we put each other first. This is our service to God. Bill and I talk about where we will minister, where we feel God is leading us, and honey, how do you feel about that? And we get input from each other before we say yes.
Uh-huh.
And I think that so often it's easy to bypass that in service and say yes to everything you're asked for in the church and without consulting your spouse. And I feel that is a neglected area.
And I think, too, even and we talk about your stuff and you have a lot of helpful material even that's free regarding infidelity, preventing it, or how a marriage can survive even after it at marriagebuilders.com. But I think one of the great books on this was James Dobson's Love Must Be Tough, too. And I think one of the things that he brings out that's really stuck with me over the years on that, it's New Hope for Families in Crisis, but it's a lot about infidelity. And he just says respect precedes love. And so if there is an increasing lack of respect there, and again, I'm pointing primarily, it can be women cheating on men or men cheating on women, but I'm thinking about, in the instances I'm thinking of guys cheating on their wives. And if that happens, then it's, if there's a lack of respect there, then there will be a whittling away of that, as you even call it, the romantic love, Bill, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and I'm not telling stories outside of school or class or anything like that. I think people all know this. But Dobson's number two guy, Mike Trout,
uh-huh.
had an affair with the secretary. Now, you'd think that in the environment of that company that is so incredibly important, and the ministry is so valuable, Focus on the Family has helped so many people, you'd think that the number two guy would have applied the same principles that James Dobson is writing about. But he didn't. He had a relationship with his secretary. It was very recreational. They went on trips together. They did all sorts of things together. He falls in love with her. He goes to Dobson and says, you know, I'm having this affair, and I hope you can forgive me. And Dobson kicked him out of his office and fired him on the spot. You see, the basic idea is that you get this idea in your head that somehow this relationship is okay. And even when you're a Christian, even when you're a Christian, and even when you've been saturated with great advice, if you let someone else into your life who can meet your emotional needs, your brain turns to jelly. We call it the fog, where you have no concept of the damage that you're doing. So anyway, my advice is don't leave your love bank open to outside threats. People of the opposite sex should not have an opportunity to meet recreational needs, admiration needs, conversational needs, the things that are most important to you. Those should be reserved for your spouse.
And in the Christian community, I think it pains us all even more when we see this happen. Because when that does happen, who has the smile on their face? It's not our Lord. It's not God. Satan. Satan's got a smile on his face. He can't win us over, but he can cause us to stumble, and it hurts the ministry immensely. We had a situation in Santa Barbara, where we're from, but I think we've referred to it before, but the choir director had an affair with the pastor's wife. And the pastor was sterling. He was wonderful. Actually, he married us, and his preaching was right on target and helped the congregation to grow in Christ, and it ruined his ministry because of what his wife and the choir director did.
And it wasn't even anything he did.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And who had a smile on his face? Satan. No, this did not please God by any means. And I think if that even could give us impetus to say, I'm going to protect my love bank from outside threats, then, you know, I don't want to put a smile on Satan's face today, so I'm going to even work harder, then let that be your motivation. But just be alert and be aware that this is a temptation to everyone, those in the body of Christ and those outside of the body of Christ.
All right. Bill Clinton gave a speech last week at the Democratic National Convention. He talked about back in 1971, he met a girl. And Bill Maher commented on Bill and Hillary Clinton's marriage. I want to bring that comment to the Harleys, get their reaction on it, if they agree or disagree with what Mr. Maher contends. And also, we've got a question from a listener from a past program. And then just kind of revisiting the basics from Bill and Joyce Harley from MarriageBuilders.com, a summary of their basic concepts, the love bank, and more, and encourage you as best we can one final time to check out their website, avail yourself of that, be helped by all the incredible resources at MarriageBuilders.com. And speaking of Robert De Niro, he's got this reminder for us.
Temper's the one.
Not Robert De Niro. This is Jack Nicholson here from, here we go.
Temper's the one thing you can't get rid of by losing it.
Have you ever been disappointed before?
Who hasn't? Yesterday I opened a bag of chips and it was only half full, but they don't charge you for half the bag.
Good point, Dad. Folks, trust me, you won't be disappointed when you come and check out the all-new Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane. We are done with our major remodeling and expansion. I'm Kina.
And I'm Rick Moore, the owner. If you're thinking about getting a new Ford car, truck, SUV, or crossover, come on in during the Ford Freedom Sales event at Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane. You can get 0% financing and no payments for 90 days and $1,000 smart cash on most vehicles. We also have several vehicles priced over $10,000 off MSRP. Something else you can get from Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane.
You can get our new lifetime powertrain warranty on all new Fords and most pre-owned vehicles. For just $269 a month, you can lease a new 2016 F-150 XLT Super Crew Northland Edition with 10% down, tax, title, and license. The Ford Freedom Sales Event is going on right now at Eau Claire Ford Lincoln Quick Lane. It's not just about the cars, it's about the people.
That's the difference.
Hey, it's Gordy's Guru here, inviting you to the 12th annual Feed My People Food Bank live auction taking place at the Gordy's on Hamilton Avenue right here in Eau Claire, August 5th, starting at 10 a.m. Come and join us as we auction off certificates from restaurants and hotels, along with sports tickets, appliances, a stand-up paddleboard, and much, much more. Plus, don't miss the car from Maury's Mazda and a special appearance from Gilbert Brown with the Gilbert Brown Foundation. It's the Feed My People Food Bank live auction August 5th at Gordy's.
Something sweet for your taste buds
nom, nom, nom.
And your ears. WWIB's Battle of the Bands benefiting Feed My People Food Bank is Friday, August 5th at 6:30 p.m. at Goodies, Sweet Treats, and More on Lake Wasota. This is an outdoor event, so bring a blanket or lawn chair. And it's at Goodies, so bring your appetite. A portion of all concessions proceeds from the evening will be given to Feed My People. And don't miss the silent auction inside the shop. Cookie decorating and games for the kids, and of course, great music. It's a Battle of the Bands and benefit August 5th. All the details at WIB.com.
It's our final Marriage Monday show with Bill and Joyce Harley here on August 1st, 2016. Any and all marriage questions welcome this hour at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, or you can email mark at wib.com if you wanted to be anonymous. That's fine. We'll get to a past marriage question. But first, last week at the Democratic National Convention, I think it was on Tuesday night, Bill Clinton gave kind of a long speech. It began with, you know, I met a girl. And it was in the Yale Law School library, and it was about Hillary Clinton, how they met. He was from Arkansas. She was from Illinois. And there are a lot of things left out of the speech, obviously, that pretty much most Americans are aware of regarding multiple infidelity with multiple women in their marriage. But Bill Maher, the liberal commentator on HBO, as he was offering a show each night after the convention, he talked about the fact that, well, Bill Clinton could have these affairs and still love Hillary, he could. So, and you spoke a little bit about that. You talked about people loving, too. Can you speak on that, Bill?
Yeah, basically, what people will ask me, what's wrong with having an affair? And I've been asked that question for years. I've been on several television shows where people have written books on the advantages of having an affair, and you have Ashley Madison, the website, you know, where if you want an affair, here's a person that's a willing participant. And so there are a lot of people that just don't see anything wrong with it, and so they come to me and say, tell me what's wrong with having an affair. And my answer starts out with, an affair is the most painful thing you can ever do to another person that you're married to. Basically, when you're married and you cheat on your spouse, that person will tell you consistently that it is the most painful thing they've ever gone through in their entire lives. And I've had people compare it to the loss of a child, to their house burning down, to the loss of a limb, career disasters. Nothing compares to infidelity in terms of the pain that it causes. So when you ask the question, what's wrong with infidelity, the first answer is it's the most uncaring, selfish, painful thing that you could ever do to somebody you promised to love and cherish for the rest of your life. Now, that should be enough. That should be explanation enough. And so for Bill Maher, you know, to say, well, he still loves his wife, I would say, love, what are we talking about here? Does love not communicate some form of care? He obviously doesn't care about his wife, or he wouldn't be doing this to her. Now, he could be in love with his wife. That might be possible. He might have a feeling of love for her, but he certainly isn't demonstrating any care for her. So that would be my response to Bill Maher.
Yeah. And so if we want to have, and again, Bill Maher's a guy who's never been married. But by the way, in the Master Media, they've got somebody to pray for every day, a media leader and a cultural influencer. Today, August 1st, the guy to pray for is Bill Maher. So there you go. Pray for Bill.
Good right. timing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But if you want to have a ministry marriage that goes the distance, again, some things to keep in mind. It seems like, receiving God's love, loving each other, making marriage your number one ministry. You guys preach that, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's our number one interest.
Other
couples, right.
It's really interesting how many people that we have that have survived an affair through Marriage Builders have gone on to create marriage ministries. And I was just talking to somebody just yesterday about them wanting to get more involved in their church's ministry and because of the success of their marriage. They want other people to know that this is possible even under these dire circumstances of infidelity, that you can come out of it and be really, really happy, but these are the rules that you got to follow. And so they want to be able to spread the word that other couples can have the same experience.
And it really makes us happy when we hear that. Mm-hmm. And, Mark, you and your wife are that way. I mean, you're going to have a marriage ministry in Liberia. And this is happening around the world, actually, because the Internet reaches the world. And we have people writing us all the time. Because of this happening in our marriage, we are going to start having this group in our neighborhood. They may not even be Christians. We want to spread the word. It's almost like the gospel.
There's been a marriage builders group. Rich and Kathy Ward have talked to us about a marriage builders group. I think they meet, I forget how often, but
absolutely.
Here in the Chippewa Valley. So.
And they were the reason we came and visited you guys and met you face-to-face, Mark. Yeah, but the point is that we're so excited to see that happen. And it's like when you find a product, you can't keep your mouth shut about it. You got to tell, this product, have you tried this? Have you been to that restaurant? I mean, we share things that we're excited about. And this is what people are doing. And they're spreading the word and reaching people that we couldn't reach. And we're excited about that.
All right, here's a question before we go to a break. Here was a question we got after a previous show from a listener who said, have a question for the Harleys. What challenges do the Harleys see as specific for the current younger generation? The writer, Carol, says, I'm wondering how the influence of the entitlement mentality, lack of communication skills that are affected by social media, etc.
Do you want an answer now or after the break?
All right, we'll take one after the break. Very good. You're right. That's a good tease. We need teases in radio. This has been my favorite bumper song for our Marriage Monday over the almost 5 years we've been doing this. 80 degrees in a Monday, WWIBandWib.com, kicking off August. Catch and match month.
It's the only thing she ever wanted all of her life, to fall in love and be a good wife. They said a vow and she took his name 15 years ago today. But now they're separate lives in the same old house. They used to be in love, but they've forgotten how. It's been so long, the flame is gone. Their hearts are beating, but they're barely hanging on. When you feel like something's missing and your world is crashing down, when the house you built is falling into pieces on the ground, can heal this home.
Does your business rely on document access by various team members? Tired of slow editing problems via email? Well, the solution is DCS NetLink and Google Docs. With Google Docs through DCS, you can create great-looking Word documents, spreadsheets, and presentations that multiple team editors can work on at the same time. It will save time and create a more positive work environment. Find the solution. See DCSNetLink.com today.
This is Paul, and joining me again is Karen from Festival Foods. Karen, it's the final full month of summer for 2016. It's also a great time of the year to get together with family and friends for football. The Packers have a game this week. You have something in the meat department that's not only delicious, but fun to eat, fun to make. Tell us about it.
Well, let's talk about this favorite. It's called Ribs on a Stick. It's made from lean center cut boneless pork loin. They're really easy to grill and serve. They come in barbecue with Sweet Baby Ray's sauce or plain if you've got your own special recipe. They're really fun to enjoy, fun to eat without the bones, and oh, they're on sale now.
And don't forget to stop in at the Dine at Home Deli for tremendous salads and other sides that are perfect to round out your meal. Festival Foods also has some great recipe ideas. Go to festfoods.com. And remember, sales begin each Sunday in Eau Claire and La Crosse and on Wednesday in Marshfield.
Festival Foods.
Accent the exterior of your home with outdoor wall lights from Patriot Lighting and Menards. The Sterling Outdoor Wall Light is beautifully crafted with a forged bronze finish and seated glass. Right now, only $14.99. The Bennett Wall Light has an oil-burnished bronze finish and seated glass and includes a vintage-style bulb, just $44.99. Take advantage of these and other great deals in outdoor wall lights. Now, during Menards' Red Hot Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, this is Steve Snyder. My favorite reading was a collection of books describing the outdoor adventures surrounding early American history, along with a healthy dose of Mark Twain's Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
Find a new book and win prizes during WWIB's Summer Reading Challenge presented by Northwestern Bank. Just go to WWIB.com and print off the form. Then read 5 books of your choice. Have mom or dad sign your form, then bring it to Cherry Berry Frozen Yogurt in Eau Claire for a cool kid's cup of froyo. Or bring it to Sammy's Pizza for a free kids pizza and pop. Open to kids 12 and under. One certificate per sponsor, please. Find the Summer Reading Challenge banner at WWIB.com.
Quo is a high school football star with a bright future. With the football season at stake, he's caught drinking, putting his team in jeopardy and his family. But the family begins to draw on their faith, and they're reminded that things will work out for the best in the end. During Catch and Match August, for a suggested gift of $40 or more to the ministry, ask for the DVD filmed in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, Catching Faith. Dove rated 12 plus, faith friendly. Call, go to WWIB.com, write, or stop by the studios.
This home, a message from Luminate off their Welcome to Daylight release, and it's a message from marriage builders. Building marriages that last a lifetime. Even if your marriage has wandered into the pain of infidelity, Marriage Builders site is the number one infidelity support site on the internet. Why? Because they have more experience helping couples successfully recover from infidelity than anybody else. Gain your help from them. My preference would be Building an Affair-Proof Marriage, which is the subtitle of His Needs, Her Needs. Do that, but if you didn't do that, then get the help afterwards from marriagebuilders.com. All right, the question again we had before the break was, what challenges do Bill and Joyce Harley see as the specific ones for the current younger generation? This mom says she's wondering how the influence of the entitlement mentality, lack of communication skills that are affected by social media will affect future marriages.
Well, I had an opportunity to observe a focus group of single millennials, one group of men and one group of women. And what struck me about it was on the topic of marriage. And so what struck me about that, their comments that they were making, was how they didn't want the marriage to change them. The one woman said that she was afraid of getting married because if she got married, she would lose sight of the objectives that she had in life. Now, most of us would look at that kind of a thing and say, well, you know, marriage doesn't have to do that, doesn't have to change your objectives in life. But you see, the thing that Joyce and I have done in our marriage and what has made us successful in our marriage is that we have made our choices together. Now that hasn't changed either one of us. Joyce's identity is the same as it was when we were married, and mine is the same too. But our objectives have changed because now we have joint objectives. We're thinking together. Now, if I were to force Joyce or try to make her do the things that I want to do, then this other woman's concern would be valid, if she married a man who would ignore her interests and focus on his interests and force her to shift to his interests, that would be wrong, and that wouldn't create a great marriage. But a great marriage is one where two people come together, and they a jigsaw puzzle where you start out. There's a picture out there, but you start out with the pieces in all different directions. And you have to piece the whole thing together to turn it into a picture. And that's what Joyce and I did. I had personal goals that I never were able to accomplish. And Joyce had goals, too, that she didn't accomplish. Well, both of us came together and we said, okay, what goals can we achieve together and that I can achieve personally, that she would enthusiastically support, and that she could achieve personally, that I would enthusiastically. So we did it together. We did it together. There is nothing to fear about marriage if that's how you approach the problems that you face. But these people that I was observing, they were fearful. They were afraid of marriage. They were afraid that once they got married, they would lose everything that they had hoped to achieve, a romantic relationship, and then they would lose everything else besides.
But Bill, millennials are getting married today. I mean, with this perspective, they're still getting married.
They're getting married, but much lower percentage and much later.
Yes, much later, right.
Much later. And the problem with later is that by then you've got a lot of things set in cement. I mean, your career is pretty much determined. You've already decided a lot of things about your life that is hard to change after you're a certain age.
We do get a lot of emails, I think, from millennials because they have gotten married and it's not working out because they have a perspective that is making for not a good marriage. And I mean, the angry outburst happens because I'm entitled and you're not letting me do it. And conversation, she talked about with social media and all, conversation hasn't been really developed. And so how do you have a good, meaningful, intimate conversation?
Well, and let me add to that, Joyce, the idea that social media can be a scourge,
yes,
to a marriage, because what happens is after you're married, you have all these friends of the opposite sex, mm-hmm, on social media that you can end up falling in love with because they're meeting your need for conversation. So we see a lot of that, too.
So there's a lot more loose ends to, mm-hmm, be tied up after marriage if you go into marriage with this philosophy that typically millennials do have. But what Bill and I have found by exercising the principles that we talk about, we are better together than apart. And we have accomplished more together than we possibly could have accomplished single and apart. So
if you think of marriage as a partnership of extraordinary care, think of it that way, that it's a partnership. You've married somebody that becomes your life partner, and both of you have agreed to care for each other in an extraordinary way. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Nothing will go wrong in your relationship. Joyce and I have had disappointments in life, but our relationship has remained solid and secure because those disappointments have not come between us. And so we remain solid as a couple in spite of the ups and downs of ordinary life. So anyway, I would say, yeah, there is a lot to worry about millennials. I feel this way. I think that our marriages are not turning out very well.
Well, and I think it's just such a low, I mean, for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, kids, mm-hmm, have seen their parents divorce. I've talked about mine after over 20 years of marriage, and that was the early 80s, and divorce is way more prevalent now than it was then. Both of my wife and I both grieve this reality of divorce, which is, you know, it's, think about the kids. The kids, they go, it's like they go back and forth between the parents' household, and it seems like what's in the best interest of the parents, but these poor kids. I mean, I didn't have to do that. My parents got divorced when I was like almost 19 years old. But I mean, for people who have to, for kids who have to, it is such a rough experience, it seems. You have to living out of two households a lot of times.
Well, there's a whole lot of statistics about divorced kids struggling more in life than kids that have been in marriages that are secure and loving. And there's health problems, there's career problems, there's relationship problems of their own. They have problems with finance and all sorts of things. And the question is it the, you know, what's causing this? And my argument has always been that the example set by the parents in how to have a thoughtful relationship. See, if you think of marriage as being a thoughtful relationship, people think about each other before they do things, and then they can pass that on to their kids so that their kids become thoughtful. And I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier to raise thoughtful children than it is to raise thoughtless children. And if parents are thoughtless to each other, they're going to raise thoughtless children, which is going to make raising their children a gigantic effort. And so I've always argued that the things that I try to encourage people to do make their lives easy. It makes their life easy. A great marriage is not a lot of work. A horrible marriage is a lot of work. And if you think of in terms of that that way, that if you put your spouse first,
or maybe
your spouse puts you first, your life is going to be much easier than it would be if you didn't do that.
Or maybe on the front end, where it may take some work, you know, just like preventive maintenance, it takes some work on the front end. But once you do that, you invest in the discipline of that, then it's going to be a fine. It can much more easily be a fine running machine.
You're right.
I love Bill's illustration, though, of thoughtfulness. And what if you thought, what number one thing outside of teaching your children about Jesus would be to teach your children? Thoughtfulness really covers a gamut of activities. And just that one thing, we're going to learn to be thoughtful. And the question is, now what you did to your brother there, was that being thoughtful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as in the integrated in the conversation throughout their growing up years.
Mm-hmm.
And it will carry forth into their marriages.
All right, here's a comment from a listener, Chris, who says, in dealing with youth, one of the toughest things to forgive that I've found is a parent who's had an affair. Sounds like maybe Chris has done some youth ministry. She says, children identify with their parents, the affair, the feeling of getting thrown away is what Chris says she's heard over and over, whether their parents' marriage made it or not.
Yes, that's exactly right. As a matter of fact, the thing that I will argue to a person that's having an affair is that you're not just damaging your spouse, you're damaging your children. But you see, the person having the affair, this is why I call it the fog. They're not paying attention to me. They're not listening to reason. They're operating from pure emotion. And this is why it's so important to guard your love bank from outside threats, so that you don't get yourself in a position where you start making excuses for why you're with this other person that you shouldn't be with. But that's a very good point that you make, because the children themselves, to some extent, never really get over it.
So this is why we talk about preventative medicine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In other words, take this on as a role and a rule in your life, before, so that you don't hurt your children, don't hurt your spouse, you don't hurt your children, don't hurt your ministry. I mean, it trickles down. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt your family members. There's nobody in your immediate circle that isn't touched when infidelity has come in. So why not take the preventative measures to make sure it never happens?
And remember, pride cometh before the fall. That's when we talked earlier about you for 53 years, the Briscoes for 58. Great, glowing examples. Praise God and the impact you both have had globally. And I think for many of the rest of us listening to this live or the podcast, it'd be great to aspire to that. And yet, pride cometh before the fall. Please don't say, that could never happen to me. Because when you say that, that's when you're going to
avail yourself. I started my marriage knowing that every male in my family, going back four generations, mm-hmm. had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that took away all my pride. You know, basically what I recognized at that point, and these are all of my ancestors, they're all Christians going back to the 1600s. And the basic idea is that, how can Christians be having affairs? And the answer is, we're all vulnerable. We're all able to have an affair. If I think for a moment that it wouldn't happen to me, I become most vulnerable. So what I do is I assume it's going to happen to me if I don't take precautions. So I don't develop a friendship of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
That could end up developing into anything. It just doesn't ever happen.
Right.
Joyce is my only real friend of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, yes.
Right. And in today's, let's face it, in today's world, that's just, you're right. I mean, use the word Neanderthal. I mean, so people react negatively to you and critically to you about that.
Yep. And yet, I'm, Joyce and I are really happy.
Now, again, that doesn't, let me just clarify, that doesn't mean you don't ever talk to people of the opposite sex.
No, but we don't reveal personal information. We certainly don't talk to other people about any problems that we face. We talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a problem, we talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic idea, we don't complain about each other to other people.
Right.
And basically, our marriage is insulated. You know, we've got, it's almost like we've got a little.
Your happy little cocoon. We interrupt it once a month here with this show. All right. One final segment with the Harleys. Marriage Monday. Last chance for a question. 723-2555 or email mark@wib.com.
Tears fall down. In your weakness, God is strong. He's been there all along.
We have big plans this weekend at Peebles, like helping you save big time at our one big sale. Almost everything in-store and online is 50% off all day Friday through Sunday. And all fine jewelry is 70% off. That's 3 full days of incredible doorbuster savings. Hurry in for the 50% off almost everything one big sale. Only at Peebles, part of our Stage family. Exclusions apply.
Style inspired by you.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Thousands of Wisconsin homeowners like you trust American-made propane for the unmatched comfort of gas heating and appliances. It all begins with your local propane provider, who can recommend flexible payment and delivery options for your convenience. Now's the time to ask about winter preparation services, including payment programs, automatic refills, or summer fills. Keep your family safe and warm this winter. Call your propane provider today or learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is paid for by your local propane dealer and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
All right, our final segment with the Harleys here on Front Page, Marriage Monday, WWIB and WIB.com. Get a checking account with Identity Theft Protection, Wisconsin Credit Union. They belong to you. Bill and Joyce Harley from MarriageBuilders.com. That's the website. And again, a couple of different ways to wind down here, this 4.5 years of monthly interviews we've had, is the website itself, right? The number one infidelity support site on the internet. And they've got a lot of, when you go on there, you'll see questions about infidelity. It says to begin, click here, and there's all sorts of helpful videos and articles, and you can be benefited. But as I said earlier, boy, if at all possible, and you hear Bill Harley honestly explain how painful infidelity is, 50 or 60% of American marriages suffer from it, that much or more, and other marriages around the world, wouldn't you want to, if you could, with God's help, build an affair-proof marriage? The Harleys have done it. The Briscoes have done it. You can do it, too. And His Needs, Her Needs, Building an Affair-Proof Marriage, Love Busters. I would put these books right up there. Get them for yourself. Give them to your kids. And build an affair-proof marriage, right, Bill and Joyce?
That's right. That's the first step. Basically, you meet each other's emotional needs so that you don't feel like there's a vacuum there where you're not getting what you'd hope to get in your marriage. That's step number one. But step number two, which is just as important, is to make sure that no one from outside your marriage has a chance of winning your love.
Also, we say there are reasons but no excuses for infidelity. So when reasons come up where you feel that you are lacking in your relationship, be open and honest, be transparent with your spouse. And say, this has been bothering me. We aren't doing this. I wish we could incorporate this. And express to your spouse what you feel is lacking. And do it before somebody else comes along and tries to fill that void.
We have questionnaires on our website that are free of charge. It's in the questionnaires section of the marriagebuilders.com website. And there are three that I recommend to people. One is the emotional needs questionnaire, which identifies your most important emotional needs. Number two is the Love Busters questionnaire. What is your spouse doing that is destroying your love for each other? And three is the marital problem analysis. And what that does is it puts all of this together and helps you identify your priorities. Now, if a husband and wife are sincerely interested in working their marriage out, these three questionnaires will give them the goals they need to have a great marriage.
And understanding of each other.
Yep.
So that you're not wasting your efforts and what you thought was a need of your spouse and discover, man, it's not one of the top five. So I'm wasting my efforts doing what I've been doing. So we want you to put all of your efforts into things that will be most productive
in allowing
that love to grow.
And then also you want to mention our radio show that we have every day that people can call in. And very many times we'll get questions from people that say, you know, I'm interested in saving my marriage, but my spouse isn't. Where do I go from here? And we offer on-air counseling to people that are faced with that kind of problem and a host of others.
Yeah, and you don't shy away from things. You don't say, oh, that's too risque or taboo. I mean, you deal with it very openly.
We dig right in.
Yep. I've caught it from time to time. Again, yeah, you can check marriagebuilders.com. One of the good places to go is it talks about basic concepts. There's a great red bar across the top with a lot of choices. Who did your website for you? Was it your son?
Our son and I, we went to a hotel one-day seminar on how to build a website.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's got a lot of helpful information.
And, he did most of the work on it. Of course, we've got a lot of technical help.
But one of the things, in their final moments here, I think, is I talk about the love bank we've talked about and things, but as you scroll through your basic concepts, something that maybe gets overlooked is basic concept number six, the policy of radical honesty. Reveal to your spouse as much information about yourself as you know, your thoughts, feelings, habits, likes, dislikes, personal history, daily activity, and plans for the future. That's huge, and it would seem to me, Bill and Joyce, happens in far too few marriages, and that leads to some of these huge problems, right?
Well, yeah, we have several rules that and all of the rules are somewhat controversial because people don't follow them.
You do not shy away from controversy.
And our point is that if you do follow them, you'll have a wonderful marriage. If you don't follow them, you won't. And the question is, why don't people do this naturally? And my feeling is that we're not born with the instincts to do the right thing when we're married. You have to use logic and you have to use a certain amount of intelligence to create a romantic relationship. Now, you think of logic and intelligence as not being very romantic. But unless you use your intelligence, you'll never have the passion that you're looking for in your marriage, because I think your instincts are going to drive you apart.
Like we talk about having fun when you have your undivided attention time during the week. And that's your intelligence that designs the date so that it will be a fun date, not a date where you have conflicts and such. And then when you do have the date and you're starting to have fun, that's when the emotion takes over.
Mm-hmm. And creating a relationship where you know you're meeting each other's emotional needs because you have asked each other and you've said, how am I doing? How is this working out for you? And you're making what I call love bank deposits. That's what makes this work. And this policy of radical honesty, of course, is extremely important in this. And that is, how am I doing? Well, you need to let the other person know, even if they're not doing too well. You have to tell the truth.
Right.
And then that way you're guided toward the goal instead of guided off in some other direction.
Don't be a protector liar.
Right.
Make sure that you are open and honest with your spouse. Don't protect them from something that's bothering you, because how can they work with
right.
you on it if you don't tell them?
Bring it to the light. Bring it to the light. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't keep it in the darkness. Hey, final 2 minutes here. It has been a great monthly opportunity to talk with you.
Oh, I got a verse for you, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Philippians 1, verse 9. And this is our prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Mm.
And this is what we wish for you and your wife and your children as you start this new ministry in Liberia, that the Lord will use you mightily, that he will protect your marriage and protect your spirituality over there in a country that is foreign, and he will make rough places smooth.
Mm.
And we just
especially
the
roads.
Blessing of the
yeah.
Keep praying for you, Mark, in this ministry that you're taking on.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
And we're going to miss you. What am I going to do the first Monday of every month at 10 o'clock?
I don't know.
Aside from forgetting that we're supposed to do it.
Yeah, that didn't happen too often. But we made it go for 4.5 years. Thank you so much, Bill and Joyce. Again,
oh, we love you, Mark. We love you.
Think of me as your unofficial international director of Africa, okay?
Oh, there we go. Well, Africa is going to grow now that you're promoting it.
We will start in Liberia and try to spread to the other 53 African nations from there. Thank you so much. God's
we'll be
best
praying to you. For you.
All right,
God
thanks.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Right. Bill and Joyce Harley, I've enjoyed talking to them pretty much first Monday of most months, the last 4.5 years here. We'll get a podcast up today at wib.com.